Blog Talk Radio.
Information for the episode. But anyway, our call number, should you desire to have a comment or have a question, our call number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So thank God that we're able to be here one more time. And thank God for his word. There's nothing like the word of God. And God's word cannot be exhausted. And that's what's so good about the perfect law of liberty. It can't be exhausted. So thank God for his word. And so we are glad to be here. Here we are in the last quarter of the year. So we see 2012 is moving on by. So thank God for the opportunity. Thank God for the vehicle, Blog Talk Radio, that we're able to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, like the Lord said in the book of Mark and in the book of Luke. It says that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Told the disciples they are witnesses of these things. He led them far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. Stepped on a cloud, was parted into heaven. And then so in Matthew's gospel, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So he didn't say repeat after me, but he told them to baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. So we know that that name is Jesus. That's what makes the virtue in the water, is in the name of Jesus. So we can read when the day of Pentecost is fully come in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Only way they baptized was in the name of the Lord. And the Lord's name is Jesus. He is the Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, his name is Jesus. And that's what makes the virtue in the water, is the name of Jesus. That's where the secret of the power is, in the name of Jesus. That's where forgiveness of sins is, in the name of Jesus. That's where remission of sin is, in the name of Jesus. So we thank God for his word, and scripture will support scripture. So a precept is a law. And so precept has got to be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So scripture will support scripture. So we thank God for his word, and we know that there is one God. And that's what we've been teaching on. There's no such thing as no two persons or three persons in the Godhead. The Godhead is simply the God who is the head of all things, like we've been saying over the last number of weeks. So the Godhead is only found in the scriptures three times: Colossians 2 and 9, Romans 1 and 20, Acts 17 and 9. So it's no plurality. God is not a freak. What, no, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost sat down and had a meeting? No, that's ridiculously stupid. That's just man's foolish terminology. Like, in the beginning, God is a divine testimony, and there was only one on the witness stand and was revealed unto Moses, and that is God himself. He's before time was. He, before the day was, he said, I'm he, in the book of Isaiah. There's none with me, he said. There's none before me. There's none after me. There's none beside me. He said, is there a God beside me? He said, I don't know of any. And he is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. He is omnipotent, which means he is all-power. He is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere and every place. So this is why Apostle Paul made a declaration here, and, you know, he was talking about, I thank God, Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. This is Apostle Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, the 12th verse. So he goes on, I just read the 12th verse. Then he goes on, the 13th verse, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So he goes on to say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Arminius and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So he goes on to say, this is a continuation. It was broke up in chapters for us. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is what I want to get to right here. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Then he goes on, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, this is the will of God, our Savior, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So, thank God that he prepared himself a body. And so what we want to do today, been through the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians is a great book. And so, like I've said, I want you to know that the letters, the Pauline epistles, the general epistles, all these letters are the children's bread. All these letters that have been written by the Apostle Paul, by Peter, by John, and also the book of Hebrews, and the John the Revelator, who wrote the first St. John, first and second and third epistle of John, and also the revelation of Jesus Christ. That was all written by St. John. But the writings or the letters that were addressed to the churches, like the Church of Colossae, the Church of Thessalonica, the Ephesian Church, which is written to the church at Ephesus, the Galatian church was written to the church at Galatia, the Corinthian church, the church at Rome, that was written. Also, the church at Colossae, the Philippi church was written to the Philippians, the, like I said, the Thessalonica, the general epistle of Timothy, Titus, the book of the Hebrews, James, and all of these are the children's bread. So this is not addressing everyone. So when you write a letter to somebody, you are writing a letter, you could be writing a letter to a group of people. And people do that now. They did this back then. People are doing that now when they do emails, or they're doing group emails or group small message. They call them text message. I forget what the S is for, SMS. But all these things they do in groups, hey, that's what they was doing right here. This is written to a group of people. And so it is even today. If you have the born-again experience, this is written to you. So you can't just pick it up, confess with your mouth. These people in the book of Romans, when he wrote to the church at Rome, because he had heard about their faith, and he came unto them there and imparted unto them some spiritual gifts. So he was saying that he would, you know, mutually, he wanted to come, oh God, because he heard about them. So that's when he was saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Then he goes back, way back in the book of Habakkuk, and says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The book of Habakkuk, he says, the just shall live by his faith. The same thing, the just shall live by faith. So these letters were written to people who were already saved. And thank God that I have liberty and you have liberty too. So you don't. There's a devil's hell out there, which is called the lake of fire. Nobody in their right mind want to be lost. So we got to be born again. You can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. So some people, our own righteousness is not going to do it. That's why we have the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God incarnate. So that's why Apostle Paul was saying about the gospel to the church when he wrote in the Acts of the Apostles. He was saying the grace of our the gospel of our God. You know how he endeared himself so to the gospel of the grace of God, and told those people that he had wrote to, he was letting them know, don't break my heart, weep for me. He said, I'm not only ready to die at Jerusalem, but to die for the name of the Lord. So this is, he even calls this gospel his gospel. In the book of Timothy, when he is writing, he calls it his gospel also. But he was saying that he was none pure from the blood of all men. So this is what I wanted to kind of go back here and get to, because this is the same Apostle Paul that wrote to the church at Ephesus. But anyway, in the 20th chapter here, he preached. This guy fell out of the window. He picked him up and said his life was in him. In the 20th chapter of Acts. So we go on here in the 17th verse of the 20th chapter of Acts. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. See, this is who where we call out and call elders to the church. This is what we're talking about today. Ephesus, this Ephesian church. When they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. And he goes on here, let's see. He let him know that he wasn't holding anything back. So how you serve God here. Yes, and I kept back nothing. Okay, serving the Lord with all humility and many tears and temptation which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Excuse me, I just kind of lost my space there. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the same thing as what he's saying. I'm letting you know that this God I'm talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound unto Jerusalem, in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save, or that word save means except that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But he goes on, this is his testimony. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There it is right there. This gospel, this ministry of Jesus is the gospel of the grace of God. Behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. So this is like a letter of death. Wherefore I take unto you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Notice that. Feed the church of God, comma. What's the subject? The church of God right here, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The subject is God. The subject is he purchased the church with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Now, also, he didn't quit working. He was a tent maker. He could have lived up the gospel, but he chose not to. That don't mean nowadays. I've heard preachers say it. So I'm going to be like Apostle Paul. I'm not taking nothing. I'm not living up the gospel. So in other words, they're not taking anything that was ordained for them to live up the gospel of the ministry which they are pastors over. That's foolishness, because you can't be Apostle Paul. You are you. Apostle Paul is him. So we can't just want to have the testimony that he had as far as that, what he'd done, at a different time. But that was his liberty and that was his grace to be able to do that. So he says, you know yourselves that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and them that were with me. I have showed you all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what he's saying, what the Lord was saying, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, which means you're blessed already if you got to, you have it to give. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them, and all they, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorry most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they did accompany him in unto the ship. So this is where his heart was. That where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So these are trying times, and your money is going to be tried. So we thank God that he always makes a way. And that's what Apostle Paul says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. So we know that he is able. Here, even in this book that we're reading right now, that he is now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So thank God that we are able to get in the book of Ephesians now, today. So he has quickened us. We were dead in trespasses. Those that have been born again walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. That's the condition of the believers before being converted or being born again. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, that's in times past, and when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, that means made alive, quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's another us, okay, that in the ages to come, now this is in the world to come. How many millions of years could this be? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. So initially this was, he came in his earthly ministry, he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why he said about that woman who was crying after him, it's not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So this woman had faith. So she understood that. So then, okay, so we were, go on here, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. That means Jews and Gentiles. Uncircumcision, circumcision is the Jews. You can read that in the book of Acts. In the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Remember, he's talking about the Gentiles, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye, you Gentiles, this is who we, remember the subject right here, he was talking about the Gentiles, that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. So anyway, so he goes on to say that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, talking about you Gentiles, us Gentiles, we were afar off, are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. He is our who? He is our peace, Christ, who hath who made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make himself in twain one new man, of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, came and preached peace to you which were afar off, talking about us, and to them which are nigh, the Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So he goes on to say, I got some news for you, Gentiles. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Remember, I have made mention, if you've been following and listening to this ministry, this truth ministry, that I said the job of an apostle was to, their job was to lay the foundation and to write the New Testament scriptures. And I said, and it's according to the scripture, there are no apostles alive today. Put it that way. There are no living apostles. Their job was to lay the foundation, write the New Testament scriptures. There were eyewitnesses of Jesus. The last one to see the Lord Jesus was the Apostle Paul. He gave his own testimony. Last of all, he was seen of me. Last is last. So, that's not a good title to be calling yourself. So, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So, this, we want to move on here. So, we go on here. This man was so endeared to this gospel. He believed in God. He believed in his word. He knew who he was, because on the road to Damascus, he said, "Who art thou, Jehovah?" in the original text, Acts 9 and 5. Jehovah said, "I am Yahshua, Jesus, whom thou persecutest." So anyway, he says, "I'm therefore the prisoner of the Lord." So that's something. You want, that's whose prisoner you want to be, the Lord's, not be in the so-called penal system, which, what a stupid name to name a system. It's showing you that they're messing over you. But you want to be the prisoner of the Lord. That's whose prisoner I want to be, not some man's prisoner. That's all a business where they're, some people don't deserve to be there because they're framed and put in there, and it's all about money. It's all about the love of money. Too many things. The love of money is the root of all evil. So they're building more prisons than they are schools because they intend on putting people there. But I got news for you. Antichrist's going to fix all that stuff. He ain't taking no prisoners. He said, you're going to worship him or your head. So he says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, all lowliness and meekness and with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So here's what's important. There is one body and one Spirit. Who is that body? The body of Christ. One Spirit in that body. You are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Notice there's no comma in between there. One Lord, comma, one faith, comma, one baptism, comma, one God and Father of all, comma, who is above all and through all and in you all. So thank God for that. So even this here, we can say how he gave gifts unto men is a quote out of the book of the Psalms. But see, thank God for his word. So the whole point being that there is one. So what is he going on to say here? But unto everyone is given grace unto the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high and led captivity captive. That's Psalm 68, Psalm, what I was saying. He ascended up on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And when you read in the 68th Psalm in verse 18, it says, even the rebellious, it goes on to say. Okay, here's what's important. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Here it is right here. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some, comma, pastors and teachers. There is no comma between pastors and teachers. So that's letting you know right there that it's a fourfold ministry. It's not no fivefold ministry, because the pastor is the teacher in the local church. There are other teachers, but he should be gifted to teach a pastor. So why is that? For the perfecting of the saints. So that, what is that? That they mature. That word perfecting means mature. You're coming to maturity, and people are afraid of that word. When they say, like in Matthew 5 and 48, when Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And people, they're afraid. None of us perfect. He is not even talking about perfect in the sense that we talk about it. But he is talking about maturity. So this is why, he says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all, who? The body of Christ, come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Look at that. That's so important, because Son of God is the office that God is working through right now. He was the prophet, he is the priest, and he shall be king. So don't look at him as when he went back, he's still God. He never changed. He can never be what he is not. When he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be, he's always God. He can appear in any form. He can leave you, come to you, ain't going nowhere. He's a everywhere, here, now, there God. He's God all by himself. He's in us. He's coming back. But he's already here. But he left. But he never left. But he did leave. But he's in you. He's in me. He's in China. He's in the continent of Africa. He's in Beijing. He's in Spain. He's in way down under. Australia. He's everywhere in every place. In the United States. He's everywhere. He's God. We don't understand that, but we got to believe it. So, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So, he had to take on a body to shed his blood, because as a spirit, he did not have a body that could shed blood. So he had to prepare himself a body. So that's why you read about a virgin shall conceive, shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. She's going to bring forth a son that shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But talking about that body that he had to take on. So we go on here in the 40th Psalm, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. My ears have thou opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So we go on here to see. This is the prophecy of the Lord Jesus when he was preached out of the psalm. So he goes on here, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lord, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. So this is the Lord, prophecy of the Lord, that about the body, of the, how he came in the volume of the book. And so we just go ahead and go over to the 10th chapter of the Hebrews, and we can see what sacrifice, what offering is he talking about. So in the book of the Hebrews, it's going to make it plain. So what I love about this book of the Hebrews, it is what a declaration just to open up the never. I don't know how it is in English, every law of English, but I know that when you have a comma in English, then you have to pay close attention to that because that's important. So here, I've never seen in the English language where you wrote one word and then you put a comma behind it, starting off a sentence. But here it is in the book of Hebrews. God, comma, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. There it is right there. Remember I mentioned in the book of Ephesians, us pointing out of the knowledge of the Son of God. There it is right there. He's spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed, heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That means he is the Son. He is the Father. He's the Son and the Holy Ghost, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, and as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That is the name of Jesus. You read back in the Old Testament, the Lord was always talking about a house, that his name may be there, that his name. And so after, like I said, you search it out. After you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore. He was I am that I am. He was Jehovah. He was God Almighty under Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then he was, like I said, after that, he was Jehovah. Then after that, he is I am. You don't see the name anymore. So come on, close. The name has been revealed. The name is Jesus. The name is not none of those other names. It's not Buddha. It's not Confucius. It's not Muhammad. It had nothing to do with no Chaz Russell or none of them people that so-called started the Jehovah's Witness. That's too late. But the church began on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. That is when the church began. And they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is, as long as you say the name of Jesus in the baptismal formula, that's where the blood is applied. And so that lie that Constantine had in the 300 and something A.D. is what started that great monstrosity called the Trinity, which is a lie out of hell, and the devil himself knows that that is a lie. But too late, if you can believe God, that there is only one, then you won't be deceived by that dirty lie that is a Catholicism, so-called, preaches the Trinity and worships the man. You don't worship a man. You don't call no man father. That's what Jesus said. Don't call no man father on the earth. What he meant was, like they people call people father this and father that. No, God is our Father. Our Father is the perfect Father. So this is what we're talking about when we break it down, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the manifestation of the Lord. So like I said, God manifests himself. Even in the Old Testament, many times you see the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord was the Lord himself. We see when God had visited Abraham, three men that visited Abraham before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, one of the men was the Lord. You can read that. So anyway, so what we hear, this is the whole thing in the book of the Hebrews. It is a book of Hebrews is the key word is better. So he was made so much better than the angels because how can you be better? Because it's nobody but the Lord himself. So we go on here. So he was saying in the fourth verse of the 10th chapter of the book of the Hebrews, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. So like I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. That's why the baptism in the name of Jesus is so important, because that's where the blood is. that washes away your sins in the name of Jesus. Not the Honorable Michael or nobody else, but the name of Jesus is what washes away your sins. So we could tell that lie if we want. Or the Honorable so-and-so teaches. No, the Lord teaches out of his word. God has men that are teaching God's word out of his word. The disciples, they preached Jesus out of the law. They preached him out of the prophets. They preached him out of the Psalms. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because they wrote those books before their demise. They put it on record. So he said, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore he saith, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. There it is right there. He had to prepare himself a body. Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's Isaiah 7 and 14. So, in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will. Above, when he says sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sins, thou wouldest not, neither have pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Okay, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, remember, he's a man. He became a man. That's why I said that we read that scripture in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's a man. He came to be a man. He made himself a man. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. That's because he is God. He ain't at his right hand. That's a place of favor, a place of honor. From henceforth expecting till all enemies be made his footstool. For by the one offering he hath perfected, there's that word perfect, perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That even, like the prophecy is going to be in the time when he's going to bring the remnant of Israel. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So we don't know him after the flesh no more. Having an high priest over the house of God. Now he, like I said, he died as a son. He rose as the high priest. He is as God. He accepted the offering, sacrifice. That's why he told Mary, you can't touch me. I have not ascended unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Because he couldn't be touched. He would be defiled. So let us therefore draw nigh with a true heart, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sins. Simply saying, that Jesus Christ is not going to die again. So you don't have to keep doing that. So that's so stupid. There is no Day of Atonement. Some of these so-called false prophets have come up with. Ain't no Day of Atonement. There was only all those Days of Atonement that there were back in the Old Testament. But once in the end of the world, Jesus Christ has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So this is why we don't have to do that no more, like what they did. But we got a great high priest is passing to the heavens. So what do we do? So here we'll go back a little bit in the book of the Hebrews also, because he is talking about Israel here. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any use should seem to come short of it. So he's talking about Israel in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into his rest, as he has said, I have sworn in my wrath, they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. That's talking about Israel. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That's back in the 95th Psalm. You can pick that up if you want to see that. So he goes on to say here, now this is very powerful. If Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Jesus? Yes, he's the same one. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Remember, Israel, they didn't believe. That's why the word was not mixed with faith. They didn't believe Moses. They didn't believe the word of God. So we go on here. So he says, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What are we talking about? The word. Piercing even into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. What? We're talking about God's word, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest, not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So he goes on here. Here's what's important right here. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So why is he called the Son? Because he got a body. So he's called himself the Son of God. In the book of book of Luke 1:35, so Mary was asking a question. How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? I think that's plain, like a second grader could understand it, because talking about she was going to be with child. And so I'll go up a little farther. And so here's what happened. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her heart, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? This is the question that I just said. Remember Luke 1 and 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. There it is, right there. Called the Son of God. So he says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest. What he's saying, one we have, he can be touched, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The one we have, he could be touched, but was in all points tempted, like as we, yet without sin. Let us, the church, therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he gives grace. He giveth more grace. God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace unto the humble. So James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So in other words, he cares. He keeps caring. He says he careth for you. So this is what the quote that Peter says for us to humble ourselves. So I believe I'm going to go to there and pick that up right quick. And so he does. So he is the God of all grace. What he is saying here. So he tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because he says that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Anyway, what I'm going to go back to what I was saying, he was saying 1 Peter 5 and 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So be sober. So in other words, you want to be sober-minded. Be vigilant. You got to be drunk on wine and all that. You can be drunk on things or drunk on pride. People are drunk on different things. But he says, but you have to be sober-minded. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect. So in other words, he's going to mature you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So it's so important, like I said, the Son and the Father. and the Holy Ghost is the self same one. So we want to go back here in the little time that we have left. So we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which is the Godhead, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the one person in the Godhead. There's no plurality. There's no Trinity. That's foolishness. There's no such thing as a Trinity. That is a lie out of hell, and the devil could take that lie back to hell. God is one. His name is one. So what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So we're the sons of God now. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Who going to appear? The Father. The Father has bestowed upon us. So he goes on to say, we know that when he shall appear, because the subject is the Father here, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So he is talking about the Father here. So he goes on to say, he's talking about love and hate and all that. And so we got to believe God. So, see, right here, you're going to be hated for his name. And we know Jesus said that. So anyway, verse 11, only got a little time left. So this is the message from that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, slew his brother. Wherefore he slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brother. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. That means you keep hating. You hate somebody bad enough, you're going to hurt them. You're going to kill them. That's what you want to do in your heart. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And that we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we can perceive the love of God because he laid down his life. How did God die? He died as a man. So this is what we have been trying to let you know, that God is one. There's no two gods. There's no three gods. There's one God, and it's all wrapped up in the body of Christ. Jeremiah 10:10 says, but the Lord is the true God. And the Psalms, the 100th Psalm says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So talk to you on next time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.